at that singing this morning. Amen. Brother Brent, he'll hook you up there. I want to be like him more and more as I live day by day. I find sometimes, though, I don't do like I ought to do. And I'm not like him like I should. I fail him, but he has never failed me. He cannot deny himself. I thank him for that and appreciate the singing. And Brother Brent, I don't know if it's the Jeremy Baptist. I think it's these sorry shavings around here that's messed her up, because it messes a lot of people up. But we still have them around here. And we just choose to. Amen. I do too. You come around, preach to us about 30 minutes, they'll run the light for you. It's a blessing to have you. I love you, brother. Amen. Amen.
I like the shavings. Amen. I remember being just a kid playing in those shavings. I was talking to Brother tonight, and I never will forget it when he came around my area just probably close to 20 years ago. I was just a young man, didn't know much about the Lord, didn't know what all God would have for my life. And God birthed in me a desire to want to preach like he did. It wasn't long after a camp meeting he preached that I got to travel down to Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And there I surrendered the call to preach. And God, these heroes that I have don't play football. These heroes I have don't wear capes and aren't on movie screens. My parents taught me that the heroes that we ought to look up to are the men of God, and I'm thankful for the trail that's been blazed, and many of those trails been blazed with sawdust floors, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm glad God brings us. I was sitting there listening to him preach last night, and God took me back to that day when I surrendered my all to him. It's one thing to be saved, and I'm glad to be saved. But when you get to the place of total surrender, God can use your life. And I'm amazed at what God does. If there's anything good out of my life, it's not because of me. It's all because of him. And I'm thankful for the places God brings you back to remind you of where he brought you from. And I'm thankful for that. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to go to Jonah chapter number 2. Jonah chapter number 2 in your Bibles. And we'll find the scriptures and find what God has for us this morning. I'm thankful that there's still morning services, that people still getting up with God. Amen. I found out if you could start your day with God, the rest of your day will be blessed. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. Jonah chapter number 2, you find it as we begin reading. The Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." I'm glad God can still hear our cry. "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head." Can you see Jonah in the belly of that fish with those seaweeds wrapped all around him? He said, "I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine
holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those people who don't want to hear preaching. Those people who will not go to church. Those people who drive past your church and laugh at everybody that pulls into the parking lot. They will observe their own lying vanities. Those people that watch CNN but more than they read their Bible. They will observe lying vanities. But old Jonah reared back and said this, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me. Lord, I'm going to do my best to bide my time and get out of the way, because I know there's some great men of God that's got words from God to preach. But while I'm here, standing in this blessed place, I ask that you would illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. Fill us with your Spirit, God, to empty us of self. Lord, use us to serve your kingdom this morning. Lord, I know that without a doubt, I don't have in my ability, my own words, my own thinking, the ability to challenge and charge your people. But with your word, I'll take it unapologetically, and I'll stand upon the word of God, preach what you put in my heart. I ask that you would use your word to stir your people. Lord, here's what I'm asking you. If there's anybody lost that's listening to this sermon, I ask you to save them. God, if there's anybody backslid, I ask you to draw them back to the Father's house. Lord, I'm asking you to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, my best friend. I ask it in that name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Many of you have known the story of Jonah since you were in Sunday school. We all heard the story about how Jonah was swallowed by the fish, by the big whale. We sung songs about it. We heard lessons about it. I remember flannel graphs. They don't do that stuff no more, but I remember the flannel graphs with old Jonah in Sunday school. But there's been some things that God's taught me more out of the life of Jonah as I grow older and study more about his life than I was when I was a child. I'm thankful that the words of God is ever growing. It's ever alive. It's not to be a contemporary with Time magazine or the dusty books on a library shelf, but there's something about this book that will grow as seeds in your soul if you let it set down in your heart. And God, show me some things out of this text that I want to give to you. We all know the first chapter of Jonah tells us the story about how this preacher backslid on God. I want to tell you something. Jonah was not a novice. Jonah was not new at this thing. Jonah was an anointed man of God. But God told Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel to them. I want you to tell them that I love them, that if they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll save them and send them a revival." And I'm thankful that we've still got a God tonight. We've still got a God today that will reminisce in the revivals. It's not just stories my grandpa told me. It's not just stories my daddy tells me. But I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can send a revival to America. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. I'd go get a 9-to-5 job. But I believe without a doubt in my mind that God can save anybody, anywhere, at any time. But God said, "I want you to go over to Nineveh." Now, that might not mean anything to you, but that's just like God coming to one of us and saying, "I want you to go over to Iran, and I want you to preach to those ones that hate you, those ones that hate your God, those terrorists that want to bomb us off of this planet. I want you to go to every one of them and preach to them on the love of God." Now, I don't have no problem with going and telling a drunk about Jesus and how Jesus can save him. I don't have a problem going and telling a drug addict, but there's something that rises up in my red-blooded heart when when I think about how America's been sought after to destroy it from off this world, how Israel, God's people, has been sought after by Iran to destroy it. And I want to tell you something rises up in me, and I don't have no problem thinking that those people that want to destroy God's people, they ought to be bombed off the planet themselves. But what if God told you that you ought to walk into those camps in the very terrorists and preach to them the love of God and the gospel of God? I would have a problem with doing that. And I want to tell you, Jonah, I don't blame him for not wanting to go to the very people that curse his God, that curse his God, and not wanting to preach to them. But I want to tell you something. It does not matter what God tells you to do. It does not matter what your reasoning is behind not doing it, even if your reasons seem validated. If God tells you to do something, any step you make away from the heart of God, away from the direction of God, it don't matter where it's at. Any step you make away from God's direction is a step into rebellion. God tells you to go to the worst people. That's where you and I ought to go. God tells you to go preach to the harlot on the street. That's where you and I ought to go. It does not matter why God says it. It just matters that God did say it. We ought to be willing to preach to anybody. We ought to be willing to invite anybody into our church and let them know that God can save them where they live. Jonah, the Bible says, turned his back on God and he went in the opposite direction. Now I want you to notice out of chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Jonah went down to a ship and paid the fare thereof. I want you to notice real quickly this morning that if you ever go in the devil's direction, you ever go in the rebellious direction, if you ever go away from God, you will have to pay for it. There will be a payment. Sin will take you far more than you ever wanted to go. It will cost you far more than you ever want to pay, keep you longer than you ever want to stay. He turned his back on God. Now God will pay your way if you choose to walk in the direction of God. I'm thankful that I've got a God that will put food on my table, put clothes on my children's back. I'm thankful that when I'm obedient to the Lord, he's willing to pay whatever he's got to provide the way for his children. You need to rear back and tell the devil that if it's God's will, he'll take care of the bill. Somebody might be scared. I don't know if I want to preach. I don't want to live a life of poverty. Honey, I'm here to tell you that God never abandons his children. God doesn't neglect his children. God won't let the devil be better to his children than he is to his. God sets his table with the blessings from on high. I'm having the time of my life living for Jesus. God will provide your way if you choose to walk with him. But if you choose to go against him and to walk away from him, it will be you who has to pay for it. Jonah paid. But I want to wrap it up. I ain't got enough time to spend a lot of time in Jonah 1 because I want to get to Jonah 2. But I love the last verse of Jonah 1 where it said that the Lord had prepared a fish for Jonah. I want to tell you something. I know that when I walk away from God, I'm going to have to pay for it. Sin's going to cost me something if I walk away from God. But what I love about my Savior is when I'm not faithful to him, he's still faithful to me. Even though Jonah paid for his sins, God prepared for Jonah's sins, and God prepared a way out, God prepared a way through, and God prepared a way over to the other side. I'm thankful that God knew every stupid thought I'd ever have. God knew every sin I'd fall into. God knew every lust I'd deal with. God knew every temptation that I'd fall prey to. But God has prepared a way out of your rebellion. Jonah paid, but God prepared. I sure am thankful that it does not matter who you are in here this morning. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but like we heard last night, sometimes the choir will sink down in the mire, but I'm glad I've got a God that knows where I am and He knows how to reach me. Now with a God like that, you ought to want to praise Him. You ought to want to thank Him. And I love the words of Jonah. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Real quickly this morning, in the next few minutes I've got, I want to preach from this thought. I owe it all to Him. I want to tell you this morning, I owe everything I've got to God. It wasn't just a trip I took to an altar and then I called it quits and sat down and waited for me to go to heaven. If God saved you for heaven, He would have took you when you got saved. But there's a purpose, there's a plan for every Christian in here, every young man, every young woman, every man, boy, girl, man, woman. It don't matter who you are. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. And it's up to us that God gave His life for somebody like me. I've decided I want to give my life back to Him. I owe it all to Him. When I think about all God's done for me, it makes me want to do just that much more for Him. Now, you may not be one of those worshipers in church this morning. You may not be one of those that likes to get a little crazy and likes to get a little excited in church. And it might not be your favorite preacher up here preaching. And if you were saved by the preacher, then I'd understand that. But when you think back at where God brought you from to where you are today, you think back about how many prayers God's answered for you. You think about how God's provided for you when we were so unworthy and so undeserving, but God did it anyway, not based upon my goodness, but based upon the fact that God is always good. I've got to rear back and say, I owe it all to Him. We'll tell you something. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you don't have breath in your lungs, you hold off there, somebody will call the ambulance. But for the rest of us that's got breath in our lungs, you owe God something. Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. I owe something to the Lord this morning. I want to tell you why I owe something to the Lord this morning. Number one, I found in this chapter 2, I owe it all to Him this morning, because when I was lost, He located me. When I was lost, He located me. Jonah, I'm about to have a fit. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and the Lord heard me. Now that might not mean much to you, but you think about how far down Jonah is at this moment. Jonah's not just a man that's weeping on the ground, but Jonah is in the bottom of that submarine. He's in the bottom of that fish, going to the lowest part. I believe that Jonah went further down than any man has ever gone before. And Jonah was out of touch. Jonah was out of reality. Jonah was out of place. Jonah was dislocated. And if Jonah had cried to the preacher wouldn't have heard him. If Jonah had a cried to his parents wouldn't have heard him. If Jonah had a cried to the assembly of the brethren, the assembly of the brethren wouldn't have been able to hear him. But out of the belly of hell, Jonah cried, and the Lord heard him. You know what fires me up about God is His ear is not too deaf that He can't hear you. His arm is not too short He can't reach you. You say, preacher, I've done more than you could ever imagine. Honey, God knows every little thing you've ever done, and He still inclines to hear your voice. When I was lost, He located me when nobody else could find me. My parents didn't even know where I was. When my friends couldn't reach me. When the preacher prayed for me, but he didn't know how to get me out. The Lord heard my cry. I'm about to have a fit. Listen, if God can hear Jonah out of the bottom of the sea, then some of us that are land walkers this morning ought to cry out to God, because He hears your cry. I remember when I was in Bible college, we had some boys take me one night. They said, "You got to go with us. We're about to do the funnest thing you've ever done in your life." I said, "Man, I'm all about the fun. Let's go." I found out, I asked them, I said, "Where are we going?" They said, "We're going coon hunting." We got any coon hunters in here? Yeah, ain't nobody raising their hand. Because I found out it wasn't the funnest thing I ever did. It was the stupidest thing I ever did. They ought not to call it coon hunting. They ought to call it coon dog hunting. We sat on the tail, that'll hit you in a little bit. And we sat on the tailgate of the car, of the truck. He turned them dogs loose, and there they go. Boo, 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 running out in the woods. I heard one over there about 20 minutes later. I heard one barking over there. Then I heard one barking over there. I heard another one barking over there. I heard another barking over there. And that's a problem, because we only went with one dog. I said, "I don't know if you know this, but that dog don't know what he's doing. That dog's lost, running everything you can think of." I said, "Don't we need to go after him?" He said, "No, just wait a minute." It got to be about 2 hours in the middle of the night, 3 hours in the middle of the night, and we didn't do nothing but just sit on the tailgate and talk about everybody we knew and just sat there. And I said, "This is the boringest thing I've ever done in my life." And about that time, he said, "Well, it's about time to go find him. I think he's done treed something." And he went to the back of his truck, and he went and got one of these little GPS boxes, and he brought it out. I said, "What is that?" He said, "What you don't know is you would be searching all night trying to find that thing, but I got some right here that I can hit the button and it'll tell me exactly where that dog is, and I can go to him." And I'm just as sure as I'm standing here, he hit that button and we walked straight to where that dog was. I thought he was lost. I thought he was disconnected. I thought there wasn't no way we was going to get to him, but his owner had a GPS that tracked him down. I want to tell you, God tonight has a GPS, and it's not a global positioning system, but it's God's positioning system, and God can find you. God can locate you. God can pull you up wherever you are. When you're lost, God knows where you are. That beating on your heart is God saying, "I know you, and I know where you are, and I can find you when nobody else can." I don't know who's in here this morning, but I'm here to tell you that it doesn't, you may be in here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know without a doubt I'm saved, but I've got a loved one. I got a boy, preacher, and I don't know where they are. Preacher, I got a girl, and I don't know where they are." Well, I'm glad you came to camp meeting this morning, because you've been listening to the devil saying that they'll never find their way to God. But honey, when they can't find their way to God, I've got a God that can find His way to them. You ought to get on your face and say, "Sick 'em, God. Go after 'em, Jesus. Get 'em where they are. I can't reach 'em. I can't pull 'em out. But God's arm is not too short." He can't reach your loved ones. Number two, not only am I thankful and I owe it all to Him, because when I was lost, He located me. But when I was locked up, He loosed me. I ain't got but about 8 minutes and 40 seconds left, so let me give this to you real quick. The Bible said that he went down to the bottom of the mountains. Can you see him? He's going up. He's going down. He's going up. He's going down. In the belly of that fish, he is under complete control of wherever that fish wanted to take him. I want to tell you something. There's some people that are in trouble right now, and you are under the power of the vices of this world. And when you're up, you're up. But when you go down, you can't get back up again. The Bible said that he said those weeds were wrapped about me forever. Can you see the seaweed that's choking out his very life? And then he looked around and he said, the bars, the earth's bars were about me forever. You know what he's looking at? He's looking at the rib cage of that fish, and he's thinking, this rib cage is not a rib cage any longer. This rib cage has become the bars of this earth. I want to tell you something, what me seemed like when I was a kid. I thought, man, that'd be cool to ride in the belly of the fish. The first submarine trip any man ever took was out of the Bible. And he went up, he went down. I thought to myself, man, that'd be awesome. But to Jonah, it was not an awesome thing. To Jonah, it was a prison. From the outside, you think, man, that'd be a lot of fun. But when you get on the inside, you realize your fun time. Listen, young people, to me, you can smoke dope with the best of them and sin is pleasurous for a season. But I want to tell you about something. It don't just stop there, but Satan will not be finished with you until he steals, kills, and destroys you. The devil ain't playing with you. He wants to lock you up to where you can never get out. I remember this little girl came to our church. We used to have a bunch of college-age people. We had about 150 college-age students when I worked there on staff with Dr. Brown. And there we had them, and one girl came to us, and her mom and daddy brought her to us, and they said she's a bartender down the street, been raised up in church her whole life, and she let her job become her lifestyle, and she got one DUI, two DUIs, and on the third DUI in South Carolina, they take your license. They said she's going to stand before a judge, and because of her third DUI, she could get a year in prison. They told her that she's got to go before the judge. She broke, and she was calling out on God and got her life right with God. I remember the sentencing day, the judge looked at her and said, I could give you a year in jail, but I'm going to give you 7 days just to remind you of where you ought to be. I remember when they took her, there's going to come a day, if you keep living for sin, that all your luxuries of life will be taken away from you. Mom and daddy might not take your phone away from you, but if you live in sin, the judge will. All the luck, she had to trade up her civilian clothes, had to trade up her phones, had to trade up her luxury life living in the world. She walked in there, they handed her one of them little jumpsuits. She walked in there and she had done got right with God. I'd been begging God. I said, God, please, before she ever gets in there, let them say that she don't have to go. God, you're missing a good. You ever tell God what you think he ought to do? I said, you're missing a good opportunity to be real right here. But I remember when she walked in that prison cell, those iron doors shut behind her. She sat down. There's a girl over there cussing on one side. There's a girl over here puking on the other side. She's sitting right in the middle of that. She started praying. She said, God, I don't want to be here. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please don't let me be here long. God, please, I don't want to be here. She was in there about 5 minutes. All of a sudden, that same door that she walked through and shut behind her, it opened up again. An officer walked in with a distinguished-looking lawyer. He looked around at the girl cussing. He looked over here at the girl vomiting. He looked right in the middle of that little girl praying. He said, ma'am, I want you to come here with me. And she walked out the door that she had walked into. And she looked to him. She said, sir, did I do something wrong? He said, I'll speak to you when we get to the front. He got to the front and he looked at her. He said, ma'am, I want to tell you something. I don't know how it happened, but I just got word that we've got to have your space in that cell, and we're turning you loose. We're letting you go, but I don't ever want to see you back here again. That little girl got her clothes back on. She got her phone back. The first person she called her youth director. She got on the phone with me and said, you will not believe it, but I got out. I said, honey, you're not supposed to break out on the first day. She said, I didn't break out. She said, they let me out. I got to shouting. I was driving down the road, clearing out ditches. When I hung up with her, I started praising God. God said, hey, you wanted me to do it one way, but what I did was I let her in that prison cell just long enough to let her know that I'm the one that can let her out. I'm here to tell you, you may be in a prison this morning, but God's just left you in there long enough so you can know he can let you out. Because when I'm locked up, he's a God that can lose. I don't know what the world, this earth has got you locked down to, but I want to tell you something. He's the God that has the keys to whatever's holding you. Have I got time? I got a yellow light. Have I got time for the last one? I ain't going to preach it. I just won't give it to you. When I was lifeless, he lifted me. Now, I have read some theologians who agree that there's a possible chance that while Jonah is in the belly of this fish, that he actually died. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not a smart man by any means, but I'll just say what they said and blame them for it if you don't like it. But they said that as a picture of Jesus, one of only two pictures that Jesus gave of his death was Jonah in the belly of that whale 3 days and three nights. Remember, Jesus went to the heart of the earth because he died. They say that when he went down, he said, but because he said, thou hast brought up my life from corruption. You look up the word corruption. It is the same word where David said of Jesus Christ that he will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. It is a picture of death and the decay and rigor mortis that sets in after death. Some believe that Jonah actually died, but he didn't stay dead. He said, I had no hope, I had no help, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. I want to tell you that physically I was living and breathing. My heart was a-beating, but spiritually I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Yet this morning I stand to testify that the life that sits in my soul is the life power that God gave his very own Son when he rose from the grave on the third day. Aren't you glad God didn't leave you dead in your sin? They say, I'm done, I promise. They say that the last ditch effort of a fish, a big fish, a whale, before it's about to die, is it will beach itself and vomit. I always thought as a kid that that fish just launched Jonah out of his mouth. But I just believe that something got a little upset in the stomach of that fish. After 3 days, he got a little upset in his stomach and he is about to draw his last breath. And so he jumps up on that beach and in his last breath, he delivers the preacher Jonah as a picture of what happened when Jesus went in the tomb 3 days and three nights. He was dead in the middle of that tomb and death said, I got him. But on 3 days, after 3 days, death started feeling a little sick. Death started feeling a little disquieted in his body. And death, in a last dishevered, had to give up the blessed Son of God. And in a last dishevered, death died on that third day. That is the saying that you find in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death swallowed him. But after 3 days, life swallowed death. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that in the victorious power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can rise up and walk in newness of life? After seeing those things, don't you think you owe it all to Him? Thank you, preacher.